Praise God. We're going to look this morning at this subject, the God who heals. The God who heals. Last week, I spoke on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and said that was a controversial subject. This is also a controversial subject. People got strong views and voiced them strongly about the subject of healing. And remember what I said last week, that whenever God has something precious, something important for us, you can guarantee the devil will come along and stir up controversy around that subject so that we'll just throw our hands up in the air and say, oh, forget the whole thing. Because he does not want us to enjoy what God wants to give to us. Amen? Now, there are extreme views, I believe, that I call them extreme anyway, on this subject. First of all, there are those who do not believe in miraculous healing for today. They believe that healing finished, as far as God miraculously healing people, finished in the days of Christ and the apostles. What they do is they look at the Bible, they say, if you look at the Bible, there's a pattern. You'll see that there were seasons when God gave extraordinary gifts. For example, in the time of Moses and Joshua, there were miracles. Then nothing until Elijah and Elisha. Then there were miracles. Then nothing until Christ and the apostles. Then there were miracles, and then that's it. Now, first of all, let me say that it's not correct to say that there were no miracles in between those periods. There were, even though they were more concentrated during those periods. But we don't build doctrine on what we perceive to be patterns in the Bible. We build doctrine upon what is stated emphatically in the Word of God. And Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. Those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So that's a statement, that's a promise of Jesus concerning all those who believe. These signs will follow. There is healing promised for the church from generation to generation. You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you see that one of the gifts that Jesus gave to the church was the gift of healing. And God hasn't taken back any of the other gifts, so why would he take back healing? And the Bible says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God doesn't give, then change his mind. God doesn't give, then take back. Amen. He's a good God. Now, another thing is this. If you want to know something about God, if you want to know what he does, first of all, look at who he is. He does what he is. And if you want to know who he is, then there are many names given to God that help us to know his character. One of those names is, and he called himself this, of course, is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, the Lord your healer. Amen? And so he is the Lord who changes not. That's who he is. And he changes not. What he was yesterday, he is today and will be tomorrow. But of course, if you really want to know what God is like, look at the life of Jesus. Jesus is the exact image and representation of the Father. Amen. He came to show us the Father, amongst other things. He came to show us what the Father is like. And all commentators agree that when you look at the ministry of Jesus, the life of Jesus, you can divide it into three parts. He came to preach, to teach, and to heal. And there is an abundance of healing ministry in the life and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's impossible to believe in a Christ who is not a healing Christ. And it's even worse to believe in a Christ who was a healing Christ, but is no longer a healing Christ. He doesn't do that today. There's no basis for that kind of thinking. You know, in the days of Jesus, it's quite amazing that people readily believed and received the healing ministry of Jesus. But they had problems when he said to someone, your sins are forgiven you. They nearly stoned him. They said, what? You can't say that? Today, it's the other way around. We have no problem in believing that Jesus forgives us. Amen. But a lot of people debate, does he still heal? Is healing for today? Well, both are still a part of the ministry of Jesus towards us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Amen? So there are those at that end of the scale that reject it, and I believe it's very clear that that is a wrong approach to take to this subject. Then there are those at the other end of the scale, and they believe that everyone can claim healing, and it's their right. In fact, they say, God doesn't heal, he has healed. By his stripes, we are healed. Okay, so it's an accomplished fact. So God is not going to give it, but the devil can take it. You've already got it, but the devil can take it. So how does he take it? If you get sick and you say, I'm sick, then you're confessing sickness, and therefore you will not be healed. You see that? So basically, you've got to lie. When you get sick, you just got to say, no, I'm not sick. I'm healed. By his stripes, I am healed. Even though you're coughing and spluttering over everyone. You say that. It reminds me, you see, this teaching, that kind of extremism that goes into denial actually comes from Christian Scientism. That's the basis of it. Mind over matter. It reminds me, I don't know whether I told you this story of a lady who went to one of the Christian Scientists meeting, and she was telling them about her husband who was sick. And they poured her up. They said, no, he's not sick. He only thinks he's sick. Go home and tell him. He's not sick. It's in his mind. He only thinks he's sick. So she came back the following week and they said, how is your husband this week? She said, oh, he thinks he's dead now. You know, it's not easy to kind of work with that kind of mentality. It doesn't work in the real world. I've got to say that. I appreciate the faith and the enthusiasm, but it doesn't work. And when it doesn't work, then what you find is that people say, well, that didn't work because that person doesn't have enough faith. So not only are they sick, now they're condemned because they don't have enough faith. And furthermore, I've got to be honest, friends, it doesn't work in the life of those who teach it. But they deny that. They cover it up. It's well documented that many of those that preach this thing, it doesn't work in their lives. I'm not into naming names, okay? That's not the purpose of this. I want you just to really come to terms with a biblical approach to healing this morning. And let me just give you some examples. There's one preacher that believes it's wrong to go to the doctors because Jesus is our doctor. He is our healer. He's the great physician. So you don't go to doctors. And he made the statement, we don't have sickness in our home. But then his wife got cancer. And she had prayer. She had lots of prayer. She was not healed. The only way her life was saved eventually is that she went on a course of chemotherapy. Now, these are the facts, friends. Nothing we need to be ashamed of as Christians, and I'll come to that in just a moment. These are the facts. Someone who's considered to be the granddaddy of this doctrine made an emphatic statement, I have not had one sick day in my life. Fact is he had 4 cardiovascular arrests, crises. That's the fact. But he denied that, so it becomes lying. You see, when your doctrine doesn't work and you've got to lie, friends, honestly, ditch your doctrine, otherwise you will go into, you become deluded about this thing. And that's a dangerous thing. Another pastor who believed this thing, shouldn't go to the doctors because Christ is our doctor, his grandson died because a simple medical procedure was withheld from him. Now, we blame other cults who withhold blood transfusions, right? Come on. And yet, when it comes into fundamental Christianity, what do we say about that? His grandson died because he withheld a medical procedure. In fact, 90 people in his congregation died when they could have been healed by simple medical care. Alarm bells? I could go on, but I don't want to go down. All I'm saying is there is an extremism in that area. Now, friends, God is an abundant healer. God is an abundant healer. You see it in the whole of life. Are you amazed when people are not healed? I'm amazed when they are. Because we live in such a sickness, sin-infected planet. Our bodies are not yet redeemed. And yet we're still alive. Amen? We're still alive. Because God has placed within our bodies this incredible power of recuperation. You know, I had a basal cell carcinoma cut out of my head, my forehead, as you know. 17 stitches. And it's left a mark there, as you can see. Someone in the church affectionately referred to it as the mark of the beast. But I reject that. But, you know, the doctors say that within 3 to 4 months, you'd hardly see the scar there. Isn't that amazing? Don't you find that amazing? The power of recuperation. Who says God is not a healer? The way he has constructed our bodies, even our sinful, fallen bodies, have the power to regenerate and to renew and to be healed. That's why you're here today. You've been sick many times, friends. With sicknesses that should have killed you, but the immune system and the power of recovery within our bodies, I just give all glory to God. And then you look the fact that many people are healed by just changing their diet when they eat the foods that God has given us, not processed foods. And healthy foods, they learn what foods are good for this ailment and can recover, can recuperate. And closely aligned to that is natural medicine, from herbs and so on. If we take the right things, it can build our body back up again to life and health and vitality. And even in, you know, what we call conventional medicine, people knock it, they say, people die in hospital. They may die in hospital. I tell you this, millions and millions and millions of people are healed in hospitals. Their lives are saved because God has given wisdom to doctors and nurses and medical staff to get our bodies back to health. All of it is from God. Let's give him the glory. Give him the praise. He is a God who heals in abundance. Now, this word, because we're looking at miraculous healing that comes directly from God, not through the mediation of any of those things. This word in the Hebrew is the word rapha, and it actually means to heal or to cure or to restore, and it's a general word. Okay? Now, when you come over to the New Testament, you find that there's another general word, which is sozo. You'll be acquainted with that word, sozo, which means salvation or wholeness in every part. Here, we find it here. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. That's that word sozo, to be made whole in every part. I love that, because what Jesus purchased for us is wholeness in every part, healing in every part. It includes, of course, physical healing. It includes mental healing and emotional healing. You've been hurt in the part, you've been scarred. God heals the brokenhearted. Amen. It includes healing in your marriage. If your marriage is going through difficulty, God is for your marriage. God wants to restore your marriage. God wants to restore broken relationships in your life. Amen. And it refers to wholeness in every part of you, in your economic aspect of your life, in your workplace, in your finances. God is for you. He wants to bless you with abundance and goodness. That's the heart of God. And that's what Jesus included in the salvation. Of course, the primary aspect of salvation was the forgiveness of our sins, because that's what separated us from God. But now we've been reconciled to God through the work of the cross. We're enjoying all the benefits of what it means to be reconciled to the Father. Praise his wonderful name. Now, we're looking then at, physical healing. The Bible says the Lord is for the body, and the body is for the Lord. You get that? The Lord is for the body. He's not against it. He's for your body, and the body is for the Lord. Amen. See, God has a plan for your life which you cannot do outside of your body. Amen. That's how it works on planet Earth. What God has for you, the will of God for your life, will be done inside your body as you live inside your body during the time that you're on this earth. And therefore, God wants you whole. God wants you healthy to live life to the fullness. Amen? He wants you to be whole in every part. Now, this is the heart of God. You know, God doesn't say, when Jesus was on earth, he didn't say to people, until you get saved, I'm not going to heal you. Did he ever say that? No, he didn't. He didn't. He healed people because they were sick. He healed them. They came to him and he healed them. Now, was he concerned about their spiritual condition? Of course he was. God doesn't want us with healthy bodies to go to hell. Amen? God wants to save us. That's the heart of God. And you see that, you know, for example, Jesus fed the hungry. Why did he feed them? Because they were hungry. No other reason. Because they were hungry. But then they followed him. And said, wow, that was a nice cheap meal, free meal. Followed him around the other side of the lake. And Jesus said to them, you follow me only because I fed you. Don't labor for the food that perishes, but the food that endures to eternal life. He wanted to connect them with the real basis of their need, which was their disconnectedness from God. And he wanted to connect them to God. Amen? Praise God. There was a man that Jesus healed who was blind from birth. You read about this in John chapter 9. And, this was a great miracle. And when everyone was talking about it, the Pharisees were concerned about it because nobody could deny this was a work of God, and then people would believe in Jesus. They didn't want them to believe in Jesus. And so they tried to question this man and to get him to deny that it came from Jesus, but he wouldn't cooperate with them. So they put him out of the synagogue. Terrible. They disfellowshipped him. And Jesus found him and began to witness with him and said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He said, who is he, Lord? He said, I who speak to you am he. And the man said this. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Isn't that beautiful? Say, healed of blindness from birth and then saved on the same day. And that's what Jesus is into. He's into wholeness in every part of us. Now, let me just move on because I'm going to come to this question, which causes controversy. Is healing in the atonement? Now, let me preface what I'm going to say by saying this. God will not heal you because you've got the right doctrine. God will heal you because you have faith in him to heal you, because he's a good God. Amen? Faith receives what grace supplies. Everything that comes to us is not given because you've earned it, because you've merited it, but because Jesus died so that you could have the fullness of what God has for you. So God will heal you, not because your doctrine is straight. So I'm not interested in arguing. I may be wrong about some of the things. You may disagree. That's okay. Don't take the time to argue with me, because it doesn't matter. I'm just sharing the light that I have. Amen. We can only go ahead according to the measure of light we have. We all may differ in some of these things. Don't stumble over that. God will not heal you because you've got the right doctrine. He'll heal you because you've got faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, is there healing in the atonement? Because a lot of people say by his stripes we are healed. Now, first of all, let me say this, that has got nothing to do with physical healing when we read that in the New Testament. Jesus, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. It's this spiritual healing it's talking about there. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls, not your bodies. Okay, so not talking about physical healing there. Now, having said that, some people could take us back into Isaiah and prove very clearly, very accurately from some of the Hebrew words there, that what Isaiah referred to did relate to physical healing as well. And I agree with that. In fact, I'm going to say, I believe with all my heart that healing is in the atonement. It's in the atonement. It's what Jesus died to give back to us, soundness of health and mind and body and so on. Amen. Problem is, we don't all get healed, right? We don't all get healed. Why don't we get healed? Well, that's another question, but I want to just say this. The healing that Jesus died to give to us on the cross is guaranteed to every single one of you. Amen. Now, Bruce read from Revelation chapter 7, and he mentioned how Paul cried out, "Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Right? Talk about this physical body. He said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ. You're going to be delivered from this body of death." You keep reading. Remember, there were no chapter divisions in those epistles. And in chapter 8, talks about the whole of creation groaning for Jesus to come back and complete what he paid for at the cross to bring a full manifestation of that. And he says, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the redemption of the body. Amen. Jesus has paid for it. It's coming in the next life. You will have a body without sickness, without disease, without pain, without tiredness, without suffering. You will never know sickness again in the life to come. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Amen. Never know age and decay. Never know any of those things that sin and the curse brought upon our bodies. So that's in the age to come. Now, what about now? This is where healing comes in. This is where healing comes in. This is why God in his goodness brings healing to us. And I love this phrase that we read in Hebrews, where the writer is referring to those who were miraculously healed. And he said this, that they have tasted the good word of God and the power of the age to come, the powers of the age to come. It's almost like they reached into that millennial age where sickness will be banished, and brought that into their bodies and received healing and divine health in their bodies. And that's the grace of God in healing. That's what we're talking about today. God says, even though this is coming where you will have resurrected bodies that will never know sickness again, you can taste the powers of the age to come through the power of healing, through the gift of healing in response to your faith. Isn't that beautiful? And many of us have. Now, I want to just say three things about healing, just general things that I hope will help you to understand this subject just a little bit better. Number one is that Jesus gave different reasons. There are different reasons in the Bible for healing, not just one reason. Okay, sometimes Jesus healed purely for the glory of God. God first, that God may be glorified. You remember Lazarus? Probably the greatest miracle that he did. Jesus received the word that he was sick. Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And yet, he died. He died and was dead for 4 days, buried even. And Jesus came and called him out of the grave, brought him back to life. You look at that, wow, God was glorified that day. Many Jews believed on Jesus as a result of that singular miracle. God was glorified in that event. So sometimes when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified through it." Sometimes Jesus healed as a sign that he was the Messiah. They were like his credentials. Do you remember when John the Baptist was in prison? He had doubts about Jesus. Was he the one? Sent a message to Jesus. "Are you the one that should come, or should we be looking for someone else?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them." And so these things were signs that he was the Messiah. Amen. You know, there is a lot of testimonies that we're getting back today of Muslims that are coming to Christ for this very reason. See, don't think that Muslims reject Christ. They don't reject him. They believe he's a prophet. They believe he's the healing prophet, the prophet who heals. And many have come to receive healing from Jesus, and then their eyes have been opened that he is the Son of God. Amen. And so this is one of the reasons, is to point people to Jesus, that he is indeed the Son of God. And sometimes healing is used to confirm the word. It's used to confirm the word. You know, we read earlier, these signs will follow them that believe. Signs follow the preaching of the gospel. And you know, when we lay hands on the sick, they recover as a confirmation of the gospel, its veracity, its authenticity. Sometimes people say, how is it that people get healed, for example, in India and these third world countries, and we don't see so much here? You know what? Those countries, many of them have never heard of Christ, or they come from a staunch Hindu background or Muslim background. And when Jesus is proclaimed, there's this incredible spiritual barrier that has to be penetrated for them to believe. But they come in their need of sickness, and the word that is preached is confirmed by the signs that follow them. And so often these things are demonstrated through the preaching of the gospel. But lastly, in this area, in this category of the different reasons why people get healed, is simply because God has compassion on them. Amen. If the only reason that Jesus healed was as a sign or a confirmation of the word, then it would seem pretty heartless. But Jesus cares about people who are suffering. He cares about people in their sickness. He has compassion upon them. We read, for example, when Jesus went out and saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Now, apparently, we read that kind of thing five times in the gospel, at least five times, that Jesus did a miracle or healed the sick because of the compassion that he felt for those who were suffering in their sickness. And so there are different reasons. The second thing I want to say is that there are different ministries of healing. There are different ministries of healing. There is a ministry which I've mentioned already, which goes hand in hand with the preaching of the gospel. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." And then he said this, "These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Can I say this? That healing is a great resource or weapon in the armory of the evangelist. It's a pity if the evangelist only preaches without praying for the sick, because they are meant to go hand in hand. Amen. But apart from that gospel evangelistic ministry, there is a healing ministry which takes place in the church in a pastoral context. Okay? Let's have a look here. Is anyone sick among you? let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. It goes on to say, pray for one another, confess your faults to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. I'm sure you're familiar with that passage. And often this is in the context of the body where there is a falling out. This is very serious to Jesus. When there is a falling out between brothers or brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, and the body is fragmented in that way, it's like it brings sickness upon itself. The same as if one member of your body was to attack another member of your body, it would get sick, you get hurt, you get bruised or whatever. And it's like that in the spiritual body. And in fact, Paul talks about that in Corinthians. The way they were treating one another was horrendous, friends. The stuff that they were doing to each other was just really malicious. And Paul says, for this reason, many are sick among you, and some have even fallen asleep. You know, you've hurt yourself so much, you've brought this upon yourselves so much because you haven't discerned the Lord's body. You attack someone else, you're attacking yourself. Amen? So it's very important that we forgive one another, that we walk in love towards one another in the body of Christ. If there's anything between you and another brother, then get it right. That's the biblical way. Amen? And that brings healing in itself. And then there is also another aspect of healing, which is that God does give a healing gift to certain ones in the body of Christ. Just like another might have the gift of teaching or administration or serving or prophecy, others have the gift of healing. And just remember this, all the gifts are not for you, but for those you minister to. Amen. So the gift of healing is not so that you can become rich and famous, but so that the sick can be healed, actually. Amen. For the building up of the body of Christ. And then thirdly, I would say this, not only are there different reasons for healing, not only are there different ministries for healing, but also there are different processes of healing. Let me speak to you of two of those. One is instantaneous. Amen? See, when you look at the Greek words that are used, there are a couple of different words that's used. One is a word, and I hope I pronounce it right, it's something like E-A-O-M-A-H-I. And it means instant healing. Now, that's the kind of healing that usually takes place in evangelism as a sign, because people need to see it. Amen? I don't know if you've ever instantly been healed. I've instantly been healed once. Once. I share it with you, just very briefly. I sprained my ankle. Anybody ever done that? It was so painful, I could not even lightly touch the ground. I had to have my foot up, and somebody just came around to see me, and we were talking, having fellowship. When they went, all of a sudden, I had faith to pray for my foot. And remember, it was in pain. It was in agony. I didn't want to touch it. But what I did was contrary to reason. I grabbed it with all the force of this hand. I went, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And instantly the pain went, and I stood up and was able to walk as if there was nothing wrong with it, because there was nothing wrong with it. I was healed instantaneously. That's the only time I've experienced an instant healing. But you see, we condition ourselves to expect healing every time in that manner. I'm sure that some of you could give testimonies of how you've been instantly healed, but I don't think you give many. Not many. I don't think so. Because there's another word that's used, and it's the word therapeuta or therapeia. Okay, it can be either of those. And it speaks, of course, you know, it's the word from which we get the word therapy. It speaks about the process of healing. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, shall begin to recover, shall begin to mend, to get well. In other words, sickness stops, the whole thing begins to turn around and you begin to recover. Remember, Jesus ministered and prayed for 10 lepers. As they went to show themselves to the priest, they were healed. is as they went, they were healed. So it wasn't instantaneous. Now, let me give you an illustration of this. You remember when Jesus rebuked the fig tree, cursed the fig tree. You remember that? And what happened? Well, actually, at that time, nothing that was visible. But they went away, or they went into the city or whatever, and when they came out, then they saw the fig tree that it had shriveled up. And that's when they remarked, look, Lord, the tree that you cursed, it shriveled up. And then Jesus said this, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, he said that before that, he said, have faith in God, remember? I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Instantly? No, he didn't see that instantly. Why would you need faith if it already happened instantly? He's saying, when you pray, now believe in your heart that you have those things that you have asked for. Amen? And so they begin to recover because they're believing. I've received prayer. I believe that I've received healing. And the process of healing continues. See, some people say, and I close with this morning, some people say, oh, healing, I'm open. I'm open. If God wants to heal me, I'm open. Well, that's not biblical. Some people are so open, anything God wants to give them will go right through them. They're open, all right. In one end, out the other. God didn't say be open. What did he say? Have faith in God. Amen? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's the issue. It's not that you believe in God that's important. It's what you believe about God. Do you believe he wants to heal you? Do you believe he's a good, good God? Amen. Do you believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? We've just heard today that under the new covenant, our role is faith. God has done it all. Our role is to believe that he's done it all. Faith receives what grace supplies. Remember this man, he came to Jesus and he said, my son is sick and so on. But if you can do anything, he said to Jesus, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Amen. Nothing, friends, nothing glorifies God more than our faith and our trust in him. Amen. Because it's not that you believe that he is. The devils believe that. It's what you believe about him. That he's a good, good God. And that he wants to do those things in your body and in your life. I'm going to ask Helen and Michael just to come on up and just to play softly. And what we're going to do as we close this morning is I'm going to ask if there's anyone that's sick, either in body or if you have some other need. You remember I spoke about Jesus and God wanted to bring wholeness in every part of your life. If you have a need and you want to bring that to the Lord, then I'm going to ask you, as we're playing, just to stand. And then I'm going to ask those that are around you just to sensitively come and gather and to lay hands upon you in faith. And for you just to look to the Lord to receive. Not no shouting, no demonstration, you know. God's not deaf, praise God. But just to call upon the Lord, lay hands, agree with one another, and bless one another in the name of the Lord. Is there anybody in need this morning? Just stand to your feet now. If you have a need, just stand. And others, just gather around. Those that are close by, just gather around and very sensitively, respectfully, just lay hands on those ones and minister healing, minister life in the name of Jesus. Let me just pray before we do that. Father, we just thank you this morning that your name is Jehovah Rapha. That's what you called yourself because you wanted us to know what you will do for us. And so, Father, we're coming to you as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. We're opening our hearts, but we're more than opening our hearts. We're believing in you that, Lord, you're going to minister life and blessing and healing to these precious people today. We thank you for your love to us. We thank you for your grace towards us. And we thank you that it's all been paid for at the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ. We now come to freely receive that in Jesus' name. Amen.